Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From Lower Manhattan, the center of the financial world, this is Money Talking from WNYC. Good morning. I'm Jeff Greenfield, joined today by our contributors, Joe Nocera of The New York Times and Rana Faruhar of Time Magazine. You remember the cries of pain last week from those shut out of Facebook's lucrative public offering? Well, now the lamentations are coming from those who did get in. Shares of Facebook have dropped 14% on the market this week. Some investors are suing. Regulators and the Congress are looking into the actions of Morgan Stanley, Facebook's investment bank. The head of NASDAQ is apologizing for the botched way it handled that offering. But, Rana, there may be a more ominous question to ask, one you, a lonely voice in the wilderness, have been raising while everyone else was in full-throated bullishness. Is this the sound of the tech bubble bursting?
Well, I don't want to say I told you so, but I did tell you.
Oh, come on.
All right, I won't gloat. Actually, okay, there are two questions here. Is this a tech bubble bursting or is this a social media bubble bursting? And I'll go with the latter. I was skeptical, even if the IPO of Facebook hadn't been done badly as it was, that the company actually warranted the valuations. You know, in order to be worth that much money, it would have to be like Microsoft. It would have to be, you know, everything to all people, the funnel through which the internet flows. And it isn't that yet. And as a matter of fact, the longer people spend on Facebook, the less money that they tend to spend. They go elsewhere. You can already see competitors starting up. And in fact, Facebook is trying to buy some of them. There's a very low cost to entry in this arena. So I think that's the one question. The NASDAQ itself is only down about a percentage point since that IPO. So it's not like the tech market itself is crashing. But I think what we may see is a shift in focus, at least in terms of good stock performance, from these kind of hot new social media companies to the oldies but goodies, Microsoft, IBM, Oracle, Intel. These are the companies that are actually involved with cloud computing and the really big changes that are afoot in the tech space.
Well, Joe, it seems to me we're almost at Groundhog Day with this show, because we talked in past about what companies have to disclose to investors and how they do it. Now it apparently seems that Facebook told Morgan Stanley, our expectations or performance may be scaled back. They told some investors, institutional investors, but a whole lot of other people never got the word. How is this okay?
Well, actually, strangely enough, it probably is okay, at least under the law. One of the big problems with IPOs is that it's an insider's game. It's designed to make money for the insiders, for the Wall Street players. One of the reasons everybody's complaining about this IPO is because the speculators didn't get to make a killing in the first day, which I think is kind of ridiculous.
So in other words, what they're complaining about is, hey, the special deal that lets us beat the suckers didn't happen this time?
I think that's exactly right. You know, it's actually been a great deal for Facebook. They got a high valuation. They got a lot of money to put into the company coffers. And most of the time, way too much of that money goes to Wall Street hedge funds who flip it on the first day.
Well, okay, we've decided we're not holding a telethon for Facebook, but we can say that its debut began on an embarrassing note, the way it went into the market. And at the time of this entry, the public was reminded about another awkward reality. There isn't a single woman on its board. Now, is this an isolated case of a new economy firm with, you know, kind of an old outlook? Well, the celebrated venture capital firm Kleiner Perkins this week was sued for sexual harassment by a female partner who says discrimination against women is alive and well at the firm. Rana, this news makes some of these, quote, new companies look very, I don't know, 1980, if not 1950, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I have a little bit of personal experience working in the technology field. For my sins, at 1999, I was at a high-tech incubator when they were still hiring journalists to do jobs like that. And I can say that, you know, it's not like there were more sexual predators lurking in the hallway, but these companies have a very hard-driving work ethic. They're very 24/7 kind of environments. They tend to attract engineers, programmers. Those are typically men. As we all know, women don't get as many science and technology and engineering and mathematical degrees. So it's a kind of a place where, you know, you might be really, really comfortable if you're a 28-year-old guy and you like to play foosball. If you have two kids and you're an older woman, maybe not so much.
There's another issue here too, Jeff, which is that people tend to want to fund and want to hire people who are more or less like themselves. And so what you have in Silicon Valley instead of the old boys network is the young boys network. The young guys who got rich founding PayPal, they're now called the PayPal Mafia. You know, they fund a lot of companies. They tend to fund people like themselves. And this happens over and over and over again. And there definitely are women entrepreneurs, and there are startups funded by women. But if you ask women in Silicon Valley, they will tell you point blank, it's a lot harder to get funded if you're a woman than if you're a guy.
That's right.
And so the whole idea of these new cutting-edge companies free from the dead hand of the past, I mean, part of the question, quickly, if I may ask, if they're not going to change things, who is?
Well, I think that larger companies, big multinational companies that have to answer to shareholders, the public, they have more procedures in place, are probably more likely to get it right. Not that women are doing wonderfully at the Fortune 500. I mean, you can look at the numbers about women on boards and executives. But I think where there can be more legal pressure, more public accountability, you probably have a better shot.
Okay. Keep that in mind as we look ahead, as we always do, to next week with Rana Faruhar of Time magazine and Joe Nocera of The New York Times. Joe, what's on your radar?
Next week, we can all look forward to Walmart's annual meeting. And on the one hand, there's no possible way that this board can be kicked out by the shareholders. Why? Because around 50% of the voting shares are controlled by the Walton family, the founding family. On the other hand, there is an absolute revolt going on among pension funds and other big institutional investors who are outraged at the way the board looked the other way at the clear red flags over this bribery scandal in Mexico, which was exposed by my employer, The New York Times, a few weeks ago. And so I think you're going to see an unusually contentious annual meeting at Walmart.
Rana, on your radar screen.
Well, I'm looking once again to Europe, and it's been a long, slow, sad tale of decline in the Eurozone, but I think we're almost at the end of it. I'm expecting that with the Greek elections in a few weeks, we're going to see a move for Greece to leave the Eurozone. I think that by July, you may see them doing business in drachmas again, and I think that that currency is going to fall by maybe even 50%, and I think the euro is going to fall. So that may mean a lot of social unrest, but it also may mean some cheap vacations in Europe.
Okay, well, we'll be watching those stories and all the week's financial news at WNYC.org/business. You can also take this program with you as a podcast. It's available for free on iTunes. I'm Jeff Greenfield. This is Money Talking from WNYC. Thanks for listening.